Well, praise the Lord anyway. It's Sunday night, and you've lived through the day, and you'll live through tomorrow. And the sun, whether it shines or not, Jesus is still alive, right? Has anybody seen the news? Did California have any more earthquakes, you know? They had another one? They were expecting another one. Did they just have two or did they have three? Nobody knows. All right. Just had the two, right? All right. All right. Well, I'm glad they didn't have the third one. And we thank God that he's not given us one. We have enough to keep our hearts running, right? I don't know about you, but I'm glad that we are living in the day and hour that we are living in. It's an exciting time to be alive. And whether you know it or not, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. What we need to be concerned about is what's going on up there. And what's going on up there is supposed to come down here. And it's going to be up to you and I whether or not it comes down here into your temple. I'm working real hard on it coming down in mine. You are too, right? I want to say something. You know, this morning I said I really don't like people. And by that I meant, you know, I do like people, but I've always been a loner. I just like to be alone. That's just who I am. And, you know, I do interact with people, but it's just not something I, you know, a lot of people have to have you out to dinner. A lot of people have to come to your house and sit for hours on end, and they just have to have people around them. I'm just not one of them. I have two kids. That's all I need. After I sit down, I thought, well, they probably think, what are you doing up there then if you don't like people? I'm up here because, well, God says because you're not a people pleaser. That's why you're up there. So there you go. That's the answer to that question. Don't forget, Saturday is the picnic. And if you're fasting, God will let you off your fast for that day. So don't come there with a long face saying, oh, poor me, I can't eat, because God understands. Amen. See, why are you having to fast right around a picnic time anyhow? That's what you should ask yourself. Excuse me. Well, we're going to have another strict teaching tonight. And God calls a strict adherence to my word. The body of Christ does not know how to obey God's voice. And they use every excuse under the sun not to obey his voice. And I've never heard so many excuses. I could write a book of excuses of why you can't do what God tells you to do. And, you know, you need to be watchful and listening to people start making excuses why you can't do. Because God says, I never put on you more than you can carry. And if I send you, I equip you. All right? So whenever you hear somebody start complaining about what God's asking you to do, well, then it's just like the story I told you before about the lady who, her husband left her, I forget how many years, but they were quite a few years, and he left her for somebody younger, and she was totally devastated. In fact, she was about ready to have a nervous breakdown, and I'd been praying for her, and I said, God, this is more than she can bear. So then I didn't put it on her. So you prayed off of her. So I did. And she didn't have a nervous breakdown, and she became really happy. And in fact, after it was fast, she was glad he left her. She found out she was happier. But see, you know, we have to understand that God never, ever, ever puts on us more than we can bear. And if it seems like more, remember what I told you too. I said, God, I can't do this. He said, yes, you can. You just don't want to. So some of us, God asks us to do things that we really can do. We just don't want to do them, either because they're beneath us or you just are tired of fighting and you just don't want another battle to fight. And a lot of us have that, right? Say, God, I've just been fighting. I'd like to rest a while. Well, God's not going to let you rest. What did Jesus say this morning? His Father was always working, so he had to be always working too, right? So that's where we're at in our walk with God. And we have to follow God's word. So Revelation 2:11 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. So what the title is, strict adherence to my word. And Revelation 2:11 said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, God says, the hour is late, and my children need to rally around the... Now, listen to what he's saying. This is important. The hour is late, and my children need to rally around the throne. Why? To receive their assignments, each and every day. It is very imperative that you get that word and then accomplish that word exactly as I have spoken to you. Now listen to what he says. The hour is late, and my children need to rally around the throne. Why? To receive their assignments each and every day. It is very imperative that you get that word and then accomplish that word exactly as I have spoken to you. God says you cannot deviate from your instructions in any way. This is the hour when my word must prevail in every given situation, and you must stay the course at all cost. And God said, the enemy is not in control, and you need to keep reminding yourself of that each and every second of each and every day. God said, my angels have also been given their assignments to assist you in any way possible, and they will follow my instructions to the letter. They know how important it is that the works get completed in this hour exactly as I have spoken it to be. We need to read that one again. My angels have also been given their assignments to assist you in any way possible, and they will follow my instructions to the letter. The angels follow his instructions to the letter. The angels know how important it is that the works get completed in this hour exactly as I have spoken it to be. Then he says, you need to back off with your own understanding, and you need to stay attuned to my voice. Now, you know, if you watch these here movies on TV, police movies and stuff, they have everything all in line before they go out to attack, don't they? I just watched that this afternoon. But they get everything lined up because they know how important it is that if they don't have everything lined up and everybody doesn't know their part, somebody's going to get killed. You know, as I watched that, I just watched that little short segment of it, and I thought, God, that's the way it is with the body of Christ. And he said here, my angels have also been given their assignments to assist you in any way possible, and they will follow my instructions to the letter. They know how important it is that the works get completed in this hour exactly as I have spoken it to you to be. God can't tell you. If God tells you to do something, you say, well, I don't really like it that way you want me to do it. I'm just going to do it this way. You can't do that. You have to do it exactly the way God tells you to do it. Sometimes when God says, be still, and I say, but I don't want to be still. Don't you? I want to get in there and pop somebody in the nose. But God's saying, be still. I've got this thing all in control. So I have to do exactly what God's telling me to do, right? Always remember that. Doesn't matter what you want to do. It's what God's telling you to do. Then God said, you need to back off with your own understanding, and you need to stay attuned to my voice. I'm hearing God say, your understanding stinketh, and I don't need your understanding. And then God said, and you need to understand that without me, you can do nothing. Too many people think they can go out there and do something on their own, because after all, they're full of pride, and they know all things like Lucifer did. And so they don't need God's help. That's not true. You need God's help in every situation. God said, I need vessels so full of my glory that signs, wonders, and miracles will be so prevalent that everyone will think it is God if they are not occurring. I mean, think it's odd. In other words, they just want, God wants the signs, wonders, and miracles to be the norm. You know, that doesn't want to be, oh, a surprise. Oh, look, there are miracles happening. And if we don't see miracles happen, we could say to God, what's wrong, God? Why isn't a miracle happening? You see what he's saying here? 1 Corinthians 2:9 says that the Spirit searched out the deep things of the mind of God in order to reveal them to man. The Spirit then moved godly men to write those things down in permanent form in the Scriptures. But as the Scriptures say, no one has ever seen, no one has ever heard, no one has ever imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And that's, you can also cross-reference that to Isaiah 64:4. Then verse 10 says in 1 Corinthians 2:10, but God has shown us these things through the Spirit. The Spirit knows all things. The Spirit even knows the deep secrets of God. It is like this. No one knows the thoughts that another person has. Only the person's spirit that lives inside knows those thoughts. It is the same with God. No one knows God's thoughts except God's spirit. And his spirit should be living in you if you're really, truly born again. We received, and then verse 12 says, we received the spirit that is from God, not the spirit of the world. We received God's spirit. Why? So that we can know all that God has given us. When we say this, we don't use words taught to us by human wisdom. This is a problem. Everybody wants to be lazy and have somebody else teach you how to live. You don't want to take the time to sit down and really be in God's presence and allow God to reveal himself to you. But then there's danger in that too, because some people are so messed up in their mind that they think it's God speaking when it really isn't God speaking, or it because you've had a messed up past, it could be some God and some messed up past. So what we have to do is make sure that we are fully engulfed in the Holy Spirit, and then we will know that we know that we know that when we hear something, we know it's God, the Holy Spirit, leading, guiding, and directing us. Are you understanding this? If we would only take time to sit in God's presence and honestly empty out to him, let him, he already knows your heart, but honestly open out, empty out to him and just pour out your heart to where you're really at. He knows where you're at, but he loves to have you say, here's this messed up old person again, and I have a few problems. God, I really need you to talk to me and straighten me out. Lead me in the way that you would have me to go. If you would do that continually, I promise you this, you will not ever go astray. You won't. And you have to understand, you have to, if you're really born again, really died out to your flesh, really in having an intimate relationship with God, then the Holy Spirit is in there, and the Holy Spirit is leading, guiding, and directing you. There's many times I would say, Holy Spirit, are you still there? Because I'll be talking to God and I don't hear a thing. You know, in fact, last night I laid there and I said, God, I've been laying here talking to you. You're not talking back to me. I feel like I'm talking to empty space. Will you please say something? He didn't say nothing. He didn't say absolutely nothing. He was being quiet. But you know what? When he's being quiet, that's when you're being tested. Are you still going to trust me? You're still going to believe me? Are you still going to have faith that I'm going to do what I promise you I'm going to do? Amen. He doesn't have to keep reinforcing what he says to you. I just heard that. So come on, guys. Some of us want to keep being reinforced. You're doing good. You're doing good. You're doing well. Like I tell Isaiah, throw the bottle away and grow up. Be the young man you are. So I'm telling you, throw your nipple away. You know, this, am I doing the right thing, God? Are you pleased with me, God? You're on and on. Quit doing that. Just understand that you are yielded to God, and I'm hearing God's spirit is yielded to you, and God's spirit is listening to you, and he will do whatever you ask him to do. He will talk to you. He will explain things to you. Amen. All right. We use words taught to us by this. This is still part of that scripture. Paul was saying, we use words taught to us by the Spirit. We use the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. So Paul was saying, we don't use any of our own words. Those words mean nothing. We use words that were taught to us by the Spirit. This is why God said, I don't want you to go to Bible school. I want the Holy Spirit to teach you. He did not want man to teach me. And I'm quite sure there's many people across the United States who God has told the very same thing. I don't want you to go to school. I don't want you to get the Bible doctrine put in you. I want your mind to stay pure, and I want my Holy Spirit to teach you. That is one thing about got me stopped from getting ordained, was because I never went away to Bible school. And I was in a spirit-filled church being ordained, and I said, God told me not to, that the Holy Spirit would teach me. And his wife said, do what you got to do because the Holy Spirit does abide within her. So, you know, but because I didn't have, God didn't have, Jesus didn't have credentials that I know of. As I was coming down here today, he just put him in my remembrance. He didn't even have a place to lay his head. He was an evangelist, if you think of it, wasn't he? You know, it just came to me. I never thought of it that way, but he was an evangelist. He didn't have a home, and he just traveled the circuit, and the people put him up wherever he was landing for the night. They put him up. The Bible tells you that he didn't have any place to lay his head. So why do we think we have to live in a big mansion? And you know, have some place to lay our head. Come on. 2 Peter 1:20 says, most important of all, you must understand this. No prophecy in the scriptures comes from the prophet's own understanding. No prophecy ever came from what some person wanted to say. This is in the scriptures. But people were led by the Holy Spirit and spoke words from God. You didn't find people in the scriptures saying what they heard somebody say about you. Everything was directly spoken by the Holy Spirit. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if you're saying the scriptures are not correct, you have the problem, not the scriptures. And it even tells you in the Bible that you are not supposed to change. Woe to those who would change the scriptures around. And somebody's writing a new Bible because they claim the Bible is not the Bible. You know, in the last days, God said this was going to happen. And God is saying, woe be to those who believe these false scribes. You need to know who God is, what God has done, and then you have to adhere to his word. The word translated inspiration in this text, because the text said all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So the word translated inspiration in this text literally means God breathed. God spoke it. It is the same as saying that all scripture came directly from the mouth of God. In the Bible, we have God speaking his will directly to man. Okay, so Paul wrote some of the Bible, you know, Matthew wrote some of the Bible, Daniel wrote some of the Bible, but it all was inspired by God. God is the one who talked to them, just like he said to Andrew today, I'm going to tell you what to write. And so everybody will know, and he'll know that it's God writing this book and not him. And this is how God works. When you guys who write books, you know yourself, when you sit down to write a book, all of a sudden you get this big gush of words, this big inspiration, you start writing, and you think, wow, where'd all that come from? It's the Holy Spirit telling you what to write. And then when your book gets all together, it's a fabulous book, you know, and it's something that other people can learn from. All right? So make sure that everything you write out there for people to see, or everything you say and put out there for people to see, is God inspired, that God spoke it and you didn't make it up. All right, the word translated inspiration in this text literally means God breathed. It is the same as saying that all scripture came directly from the mouth of God. In the Bible, we have God speaking his will directly to man. Since his ways are higher than ours, and you'll find that in Isaiah 55:8-9, and all authority emanates from God, we have no right to question or ignore anything that he has said in the scriptures. We cannot say the scriptures lie, and people are saying the scriptures lie right now. Why? Because they want to be in sin, and they're trying to twist the scriptures to make them feel good. And I'm surprised how many people are starting to believe that junk. All right, therefore, the Bible alone is the guide and standard for our walk with God, and its teachings must be strictly followed and applied. Are you listening here? And its teachings must be strictly followed and applied. We need to understand that the Bible and its teachings are not to be applied loosely. If we are going to be pleasing unto God, we must strictly adhere to those principles he has revealed in it. You know, when you read about the people that won't make heaven, You know, a glutton won't make heaven. Somebody on drugs is not going to make heaven. But we don't ever say that. We say all the other things that won't take people to heaven, and we leave out those things because, you know, some pastors are on drugs. You know, I think all of us are a glutton at some time or rather. And, you know, and all right, when you're sitting there stuffing your face, what if you had a heart attack and died? Where would you go? Anyway, I would tell you I'm hell, because that's when God took me to hell. He showed me that. If you're a glutton, you're going to go to hell. All right? All right, number one. Jesus said, all right, what I said was we need to understand that the Bible and its teachings are not to be applied loosely. If we are going to be pleasing unto God, we must strictly adhere to those principles he has revealed in it. So the first thing is Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to the apostles with all truth. And John 16:13 says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you into all truth. He will not speak his own words. He will speak only what he hears and will tell you what will happen in the future. The Holy Spirit does not speak on his own either. It says he only speaks what he hears, and then he said, and will tell you what will happen in the future. How many of you sitting in here, God has spoken to you and given you some words as what things are going to happen in the future? We just sit back then and watch it happen, because if you're truly hearing the voice of God, that it's going to come to pass. All right, the second thing, no other gospel is to be preached other than the gospel of Christ. And Galatians 1:6 says, a short time ago, God chose you to follow him. He chose you through his grace that came through Christ. But now I'm amazed that you're already turning away and believing something different from the good news we told you. Some people are already starting to backslide. There is no other message that is the good news, but some people are confusing you. They want to change the good news about Christ. Isn't that what's happening today? We told you the true good news message. So anyone who tells you a different message should be condemned, even if it's one of us or even an angel from heaven. I said this before, now I say it again. You have already accepted the good news. Anyone who tells you another way to be saved should be condemned. See that? The people were, even in the New Testament, they were already starting to turn away from the truth of the gospel. And I think it was Paul wrote Galatians 2, wasn't it? He's telling them, you can't do that. You have to follow the gospel that we preach to you. And you know, if God calls somebody to preach, then they are truly anointed of God, and they will hear God's voice, and that is the only thing that they're going to preach. Amen? Come on. That's the way it works. Now, if you called yourself, then you're going to get up there and speak what you want to say, and you're going to have to be held accountable for that on Judgment Day. All right, where are we at? Number three. Number three is we are not to go beyond the doctrine teaching of Jesus. And 2 John 1:9 says, everyone must continue to follow only the teaching about Christ. Whoever changes that teaching does not have God. But whoever continues to follow the teaching about Christ has both the Father and his Son. We had somebody in here preaching one time, and I said, boy, is he ever good. And the longer he preached, the anointing was so strong, the longer he preached, the more anointing it was. Then it dawned on me, he was preaching scripture. He actually took the second chapter of Acts. And that's what he was preaching, word for word. He was preaching the word, and I talked to him afterwards. He said, that's the only thing I ever preach. I just ask God what scripture he wants me to preach, and then I preach it. And he's memorized the whole Bible, and he just preaches, gets up, and he's on fire for God. Because he's only preaching what's in the Word, nothing else. All right? I'm hearing God say, no make-believe stuff. No pretense, no false illusions, but only what the Scripture tells us. All right, number four is, we are not to teach any words other than the words of Christ. Did we already read that one? All right, 1 Timothy 6:3-5. Some people will teach what is false and will not agree with the true teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will not accept the teaching that produces a life of devotion to God. They are proud of what they know, but they understand nothing. They are sick with a love for arguing and fighting about words, and that brings jealousy, quarrels, insults, and evil mistrust. You should never argue the word with anybody. If they want to argue with you, you just tell them, you go and you study the word and see what it tells you. And then let it go. In verse 5, they are always making trouble because they are people whose thinking has been confused. They have lost their understanding of the truth. They think that devotion to God is a way to get rich. All right, number 5. No one is not to go beyond the things which are written in the gospel. 1 Corinthians 4:6. Brothers and sisters, I have used Apollos and myself as examples for you. I did this so that you could learn from us the meaning of the words. Follow what the scriptures say. That's what they were supposed to do. Then you will not brag about one person and criticize another. Just follow what the scriptures say. And number 6, everyone must do all things in religion in the name of Christ. And Colossians 3:17 states, everything you say and everything you do should be done for Jesus your Lord. And in all you do, give thanks to God the Father through Jesus. There isn't a service that doesn't go by that I don't, afterwards when I'm going home, I don't sit and thank God for showing up and thank God for what he did in the service. Because without him, and I tell him, without you, we would have never accomplished anything. But because you showed up, so many great things happened. You know, things we don't even see have happened. But on down the road, we're going to get a testimony from somebody of what happened to them as they sat in the house of God. All right, there are divinely imposed limits or boundaries for truth. There is a specific realm where divine authority is found, and that area is the Word of God. Outside of it, there is no authority. So if you're going to teach other than what's in the Word, then there's no authority there, and you're not going to see any miracles from God occur. And Matthew 28:16 says, the 11 followers went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. And on the mountain, the followers saw Jesus. They worshiped him, but some of the followers did not believe that it was really Jesus. So he came to them and said, you know, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. So go and make followers of all people in the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have told you to do. You can be sure that I will be with you always. I will continue with you until the end of time. How did Jesus say to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Do you know how many people argue that? Do you know how many people, you know, fall away from each other because they say you should not baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? They'll say in the Father only, the Spirit only, or Jesus only. But the Word, Jesus himself told us in the Word how to baptize. And see, this is what you have to do. You have to get into the Word, and you have to see how things are supposed to be done. And so whenever you're doing them according to the Word. And anybody comes and argues with you, you can just say, take it up with God. That's all you have to say, take it up with God. I'm not going to argue with you. I don't have to, because the Scriptures speak for themselves. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the past, God spoke to our people through the prophets. He spoke to them many times and in many different ways. And now, in these last days, God has spoken to us again through his Son. He made the whole world through his Son, and he has chosen his Son to have all things. Now, what does it say? The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, in the past, God spoke to our people through the prophets. And you read the Old Testament, that's how God spoke to his people, was through the prophets. You know, and they would, you know, and he would speak even through the angels. The angels would come. They called them sons of God, did they not? And the prophets in those days were big prophets. I mean, and people respected prophets. Nowadays, you have false prophets, true prophets, in between prophets, self-made prophets. You know, and people don't know who to trust, and that's a shame, isn't it? You know, people need to try. This is why I do what I do, because somebody made the statement today. It's through what Pastor Barbara ministered us that we're still, moving on. And they trust me because they know I won't falsely prophesy. They know I'm not going to stand up here and say something that God has not spoken. And this is where you have to be. Don't you trust the words in red in the Bible? That's all. Don't you trust what Jesus said? I trust what Paul and Peter and all of them say, because God sent them and they were ordained of God, and they were full of the Spirit, and they only did what God told them to do. And you have, if you're going to get out there and minister, you have to have those credentials also. I know that I know that I know that I'm doing the things that God's called me for to do. And I know that when I speak, it's through the unction of the Holy Spirit. And I know that it's going to come to pass because God spoke it. All right? I would suggest to you that the Bible does not teach eternal salvation, although it sure would be nice if it did. The Bible warns Christians that they can fall from grace, and you can find that in Galatians 5, 1 through 5. And I wrote that down because as I was doing this, you know, I happened to read where somebody was preaching a message. Well, I heard, it was on YouTube. And, you know, once saved, always saved. You can't fall away from grace. So that's why I put that in there, because you can fall away from grace. The Bible warns Christians that they can fall from grace. That's Galatians 5, 1 through 5. You can be cut off from salvation. Excuse me, that's Romans 11, 18 through 22. Excuse me. You can have their names removed from the Lamb's Book of Life. That's Revelations 22, 19. Let's read them again. The Bible warns Christians that they can fall from grace. You find that in Galatians 5, 1 through 5. Christians can be cut off from salvation. That's Romans 11, 18 through 22. Christians can have their names removed from the Lamb's Book of Life. That's Revelation 22, 19. And Christians, by committing certain sins and not repenting of them, can have their name, can lose their salvation. You find that in Ephesians 5, 3 through 5. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Galatians 5, 19. And Revelation 21, 6 through 8. If I was you leaders that are going out there and ministering, I would know this. I would know that I know that I know that I know this, because people are going to ask you about this. They're going to fight with you, argue with you about this. And they are going to say, once saved, always saved. If I go out and be the worst sinner in the world, and if I died sinning, I'd still go to heaven. No, you won't. No, you won't. You know, even whenever I was teaching one time, I was right where Alan was at, and God told me, daughter, be careful lest when you preach to others, you yourself fall. That got my attention real quick. I thought I had it made in the shade and that I wasn't going to lose my salvation because I wasn't doing anything wrong. But I guess I had some pride rising up in that area, and God had to check me on that so I would get a little bit concerned, and I did. I got a little bit concerned. And so from that point on, I made sure that I was exactly where God wanted me to be, doing exactly what I was told by God to do. So if I died that second, then I would go to heaven and not to hell. Amen. In a chilling reminder of the possibility of losing salvation by separating oneself from Christ, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul says, I drive my body and train it, for fear that after having preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul says, I drive my body and train it, for fear that after having preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul had to train his body to be holy. Paul had to drive, what did he say? He drove his body and trained it to walk in total holiness. His body just didn't automatically do that. He had to keep every day. Every day you're going to have to check out your salvation. Every day you're going to have to tell your body it has to line up with the Word of God, because every day the enemy's out there trying to trip you up. He's going to send somebody your way, believe me, somebody your way, that's going to try to make you lose your salvation. What if he sends somebody your way that really pushes your button and you let him push your button and threw a fit? At that point, you died. You've lost your salvation. We need to be careful of what we're doing with God. We need to strictly adhere to his word like God told me. And we need to do the things that God has called us forth to do, not the things we want to call our own self forth to do. And, you know, we have to, and God's saying we do have a mediator between him and, you know, ourselves and God, and that's Jesus. And if we just rely on Jesus, our walk will be secure in him. And he's also saying we have to lay down our term salvation. And we need to have to get into the Word of God and see what salvation truly is. All right? And once saved, always saved is not true salvation. That walking half in and half out of the heaven is not true salvation. I mean, you're going to have to be so in tune to God. This is where we're at right now, church. This is where the rubber meets the road. And this is where you're either going to make it or break it. We're either going to make it or break it right now. So where are you at in your walk with God? This is what you have to ask yourself. Am I doing everything the Word tells me to do? Am I walking in obedience to God? I think I wrote that down. All right, I said strict adherence to God's Word boils down to a matter of obedience or disobedience to Christ. It boils down to either obedience or disobedience to Christ. You and I either obey or disobey God's Word every day. We are either following God's word every day or we're not. We are either walking, making ourselves, we have to make ourselves walk like Jesus. You know that, don't you? God's just not going to put you in a bubble and say, there you go. You're in a bubble. You're never going to sin. The devil's never going to touch you. He's not going to do that. I always thought he would, but I found out he doesn't. I thought I was, he told me I was the apple of his eye. So I thought, boy, yeah, but you know, I thought he was just like my earthly father. Because of the apple of his eye, I was it. But I found out I was it all right. I was a target for the devil. And he was trying to get me. And he's been working really hard at trying to get me. And so far he hasn't gotten me. But I'm going to tell you right now, some days it's the worst battle of your life to keep your salvation. Because we know the world is getting darker. The church has gotten dark. God has left the church, in case you don't know that. And now he's doing a brand new thing. And this is why he taught us today about, you know, only saying his word. Isn't that what it was? Only saying what he said this morning. And now tonight, strict adherence to his word. Do exactly what he's telling us to do. God said if you're going to be a leader like you want to be in your head, you have to be a leader in your spirit first. Because head leadership does nothing for you. You can't lead somebody unless God is leading you. We all know blind lead to blind, they both fall in a ditch. And when I first started, because of all the things God was using me to do, that's what they said. They always threw that scripture around. You know, she's of the devil, and the blind lead to blind, they all fall in the ditch. And that's why I'm content with that scripture, because I bawled like little baby boo-hoo, you know, to God, and he said, daughter, you are not blind and you're not leading others into the ditch. You're doing exactly what I'm telling you to do. And so I've made sure all the days that I've walked with God teaching that I adhere to what God tells me to do, because I don't want to lead anybody astray. I really don't. And I'm not going to play footsies with you to keep you in the house of God, like, you know, the other churches do. I don't need your head count because the Methodist group don't pay me. You see what I'm saying? And that's what they do. And those they say, if you would, you know, because I was always went to Baptist churches, just say you're Baptist out there. They'll pay everything. I said, I'm not Baptist. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm not going to play footsie so that I can be treated like a queen. I do the things God's telling me to do, and God takes care of me. If you do the things God's telling you to do, God's going to take care of you. And sometimes you'll say, all right, God, there's my last penny. And here's the stack of bills. They need to be paid. And if you're truly God's child, truly doing what he tells you to do, your bills will get paid. You won't have an overabundance, but your bills will be paid. I know that's how I live. God loves me and he takes care of me. So how about you? Are you doing what the Word tells you to do? Are you speaking only what God tells you to speak? Are you walking in holiness and purity of heart? So you see, this is the way God is. God is God. He knows exactly what's going on with each and every one of us. He knows exactly what we are going to do for him. And he also knows what we're going to do that we shouldn't be doing for him. And so if I was you, I'd just go ahead and let the Holy Spirit lead me. You know, I've been invited, used to, when I was evangelizing, I'd be invited to church and they said, this is what I want you to preach about because this is what's going on. And God never went anywhere near that because that isn't what he wanted preached. He did what he wanted done. The pastor would get upset with me, but I say, I'm led by the Spirit and I have to do what God tells me to do. I was thinking the other day, you know, I used to always go to the church, the Lighthouse Church up in Maryland. And, had a beautiful pastor, beautiful. And every time I was there, he would work the sound booth. And I would say, you have more anointing than the pastor does. And I'm thinking, he is the pastor. Why do I keep saying that? Well, guess what happened? He left the church. And I think he went evangelizing. And the pastor that was there didn't have the anointing that the pastor left had. And I was even saying, I know you're the pastor, and I don't know why God said it. He said, that's okay, and he grinned. He didn't understand it either, but I'd always tell him he had more anointing than the pastor had. You see, that's God. But now he understands, I understand, and I said, phew. You know what I'm saying? So if you just go with all you go, whenever you go, or, you know, whenever you're planning your things, your glow things or whatever, or even your flagging, it's not the way you want to flag. It's not what you want to do. And I know you do ask God, what flags do I use? But you should always ask God, what flag do you want me to have? How do you want me to flag this? You know, we should always include God in everything that we do. And if we do that, we're going to see great signs, wonders, and miracles really occur everywhere we go. And I know that God has been promising us that the new building is there. It's right there on the horizon. And I keep going like this, wondering what horizon. But it's there. And God's just working, fine-tuning. I'm hearing him say this. He's fine-tuning us and getting all the kinks out of us so that whenever we get the new building, we won't go off half-cocked. But we will go off full of the Holy Spirit, ready to minister to the street people he brings in there. He said the dignitaries are going to come in, and we're going to be able to minister to them, not out of the flesh, but out of the anointing. We won't send her all Google-eyed thinking, oh, look who just walked in the door. We will know that God sent them, and we will know they need ministered to. And God's going to use us to minister to them. And I know some of you in here, God said you would minister to dignitaries, has he not? And this is what he's talking about. And so if we just allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, if we just, what God said, strict adherence to his word, we have to follow his word at all costs. You don't change the word because it'll make somebody else feel good. It doesn't matter if they get upset with you or not. You have to do what God's telling you to do.